Of course I can do three things at one time. Just start recording. Randy, when have you ever known me to fuck up? Well, I mean, like, when have you known me to fuck up in the last 10 seconds? I'm not talking about the past. You need to let the past go. Okay, just let it go, Randy. Just, see, you're always dwelling on the negative shit. What's up with that? Yes. Were we recording? Good. No, I can do this. I got my shit together. When have I ever not had my shit together? What are you talking about? You can scream and shout with all your might. Oh, you can scream, shout, whine, cry, snivel, piss, and moan. Dig in your heels and hold on tight. You can shove your opinion up your ass. That way your head has something to keep it company. Don't forget, the ever-present, the most likely, the third possibility, you are wrong and I am right. The crowd goes wild. Why? Because the Great One himself is here. Yes, yes, I am the Great One himself, and this is Stating the Obvious, the weapons platform from which I launch the cruise missile of my intellect that homes in on destroys stupid motherfucking statist all around the world. And there's so many of you. There's statist everywhere. They're like fucking cockroaches. The nuclear weapons aren't enough. We have to mow your fucking asses down with the 50 caliber machine gun because fucking statists are everywhere. I was thinking the other day, you know how they have the, what is it, the neutron bomb, the one that's, it blows up and it doesn't destroy the buildings. It just kills people. Well, people and animals, obviously. What we need is we need a statist bomb. That when it goes off, it doesn't hurt the buildings, and it doesn't hurt the plants, and it doesn't hurt the animals. It only kills statist. That would be great. Or even if we could just make one that only kills hippies. That would be useful. Especially here in Colorado. God, if we had a fucking hippie-killing bomb that we could set off, Boulder would be, you know, depopulated instantly. Then normal people could move in. That'd be great. Hang on. Yes, yes, Randy, I can freaking... It's not going to affect anything. It's the other computer. I'm not using it. I'm updating the software at the same time that I'm recording this show. This is Stating the Obvious, brought to you by the Cynical Libertarian Society. I am the Great One himself. In the control room, the lovely and adorable Randy. It is still the 14th of May. January, February, March, April, May. Yeah, May! It is still the 14th of May. I'm still having trouble with this whole thing about dates and days. And it's still Tuesday. I got shit to do, but I'm good on that. We got time. 2013. Email address if you want to contact us. God, that's dog spelled backwards. God, CYNLIBSOC.com. And we are on the internet. CYNLIBSOC.com. All right, YouTube. So in the previous episode where I was sitting there talking about YouTube and how people who are watching YouTube all day are a bunch of goddamn losers that don't have any friends, then of course I'm going to start this episode by saying I've been watching a lot of YouTube videos lately, which is fucking hilarious. Yeah, man, them people that watch YouTube all day, I'm saying this as I scratch my nuts, they're watching YouTube because they ain't got no goddamn friends. Bunch of fucking losers. So anyhow, I've been watching a lot of YouTube videos lately. See, here's my excuse. I'm like a statist. There's always an excuse, right? Well, killing people is wrong, right? But Obama's killing people in Afghanistan. Oh, but that's okay because those people are terrorists. And if Obama says they need to die, well, then they need to die because Obama knows what's best. You're just like you statists always have an excuse for murdering other people who do things you don't like. I'm going to say I have an excuse for watching YouTube. My excuse for watching YouTube is that I can edit. I can't talk. I cannot fucking talk. But what I can do is I can edit photos and watch YouTube at the same time. Because, of course, you don't have to look at the YouTube video the whole time. I can listen to it, glance over there every once in a while, and edit my photography. So I've been doing a lot of photo editing lately, which means I got in some YouTube time. So there's this chick on YouTube. I'm not going to mention her name yet because I got to scope her out some more. I think I might be in love. That's in the previous episode. I said something about love, and I said I'd get back to that, and then I never did. Yeah, that was a teaser. I did that intentionally. That was a teaser for this moment. Yeah, there's this chick on YouTube. She might be kind of ANCAP-y. It's not token libertarian girl, just in case you're wondering, because she's a fucking statist. She's a Republican. I've done a podcast or two talking about that. Anyhow, there's this chick on YouTube. I might be in love with her. I'll check it out. And I'm going to talk about another YouTube video that I actually want to respond to by a guy that I like his stuff. Before I do that, though, I did the estrogen. I did that. Hold on. That needs to go in those show notes. Whoops. Okay. See, Randy, I told you I was prepared. You didn't believe me. Oh, you know me so well. Of course, I'm ready to go. Whoops. All right. Speaking of statist motherfuckers, here in Fort Collins, this is great. Here in our little mailing I got from the government, that was me bumping the microphone again. These are possible new code changes to fight blight. Ah, the state is going to fight blight. I'm so glad we've got the government here to protect me from blight. Because, you know, without the state, who would protect us from blight? And who would build the roads, right? Okay, the city is considering possible code changes to combat blighted properties. The proposed changes include... By the way, not too far from where I live, there's this abandoned house that's like falling down. And it just baffles me because there's these laws against blight. And yet some of the most blight-ridden... So there's an abandoned house over that way. I'm pointing because, of course, you can all see which direction I'm pointing in because this is a podcast. There's this abandoned house over there that's been there, been abandoned for years. It looks like shit. I mean, it's in a prime fucking real estate area. I have no clue what's going on behind the scenes, but it's like, why somebody has not bought that and built something there yet, I guarantee you, has got to have something to do with the state. Because it is in fucking prime fucking territory. It's right, oh God, we've got this communist fucking Mason corridor thing that's being installed that's supposed to fix the economy because people can get on the bus on the north side of town and go to the south side of town. The government's going to build a road. Basically, here's what it comes down to. The government is building a fucking road and they're going to put a bus on it. And there's all these people in Fort Collins who think that this is going to revitalize the economy because they don't fucking know anything. Speaking of people that don't know anything about the economy, I heard something brilliant the other day. Somebody pointed out, because everybody goes out and they buy a house and they think it's an investment. And this person did this whole podcast. I don't remember who it was. It might have been Stefan Molyneux. I can't remember. But the point was, this person was like, look, people, dumb fucks, buying a house is not an investment. A house is a consumer item. Why people buy a house and then think the house is going to go up in value? And I'm like, you're right. This is the stupidest shit ever if you sit down and think about it. You buy a car, it doesn't go up in value. You buy a computer, it doesn't go up in value. But people think when you buy a house, it goes up in value. No, a house is not an investment item. It's not an investment purchase. It is a consumer purchase. So when the housing prices crash and all this shit went to fuckwad and everything else, however many years back, and everybody acts surprised, again, it shows, if you just fucking think a little bit, none of this will surprise you. Now, let me backtrack to where the fuck I was. So all these idiots in Fort Collins who think that, well, the state's going to build a road and put a bus on it, and it's going to save our economy. So now to backtrack from there, this is fucking prime real estate right next to the Mason Corridor with an abandoned house on it that's been there for over 2 fucking years. Okay, why, if this Mason Corridor is the fucking path to fucking economic recovery, like the fucking statist and the government say it is, why isn't anybody buying that property and putting something on it? Now, let's go back to what I started talking about. The possible changes to the fight blight. Here's what the state, the city of Fort Collins, the government, The people who have a monopoly on the use of force and who can legally kill people. Oh my God, there have been some stuff on Molly. Yeah, I know. I'm going to get on top. Randy, I got this. God, there have been some brilliant fucking Stefan Molyneux videos lately. He did a debate with some idiot about whether or not the government, by its very nature, is violence. Oh my God. I mean, there are times. Stefan is usually good all the time. He has moments where I'm just like, Stefan, would you shut the fuck up? But Stefan's usually pretty goddamn good. In this debate, Stefan Molyneux was just fucking amazing. He destroyed this statist cocksucker. I mean, just beyond destruction. And this, if I remember, I'll put a link in the show notes for this. Oh my God, it was beautiful. It was so beautiful. Here, Stefan's main argument, so the debate was, is government evil? Stefan comes out and says, okay, first of all, we have to define things. What is the government? The government is the organization that has a monopoly on the use of force in a given geographical area, which is the definition of government. If you've ever taken a fucking poli-sci class, you know that. Okay, so Stefan says, does the government make laws against killing people? Yes, it does. Why does the government make laws against killing people? Because killing people is wrong. Does the government kill people? Yes, the government kills people. Is killing people wrong? Yes, killing people is wrong, but the government kills people anyway. Therefore, the conclusion that any sane person would come to is that the government is evil because the government kills people and killing people is wrong. How do we know it's wrong? Because not only did an invisible man in the sky say so, not only does universally preferable behavior say so, but the government says so. Pretty much everybody fucking agrees killing people is wrong. The government kills people. The government is evil. And I mean, boom, he was done. The rest of the debate was this other fucking idiot trying to talk about how the usual, if there was no government, who would protect us from the corporations? Oh, the corporations. God damn it. You mean the corporations like Google, where you fucking willingly give them all of your information so they can sell it to other corporations? Anyhow, we're going to come to that later. This has nothing to do with Fort Collins fighting blighting. All right, let me see if I can stay on topic. Oh, God, for somebody who makes fun of people who have ADD as much as I do, I sure as fuck can't focus, can I? All right, here we go. Here's how the government of Fort Collins, our saviors and protectors, are going to save us from blight. Oh, and then, talking about blight, then the other way, I'm pointing this way now, as you can tell, because this is a podcast and you can see me, over there is the fucking Fort Collins federal building that has like the IRS and the Social Security and the post office. It's the ugliest fucking building. It looks like it was made in fucking Stalinist Russia. It's all made out of concrete and it's square and it's uglier than shit. It's one of the ugliest fucking buildings in Fort Collins, and I'm talking about out of all of them. I'm talking about between the federal building over that way, because you can see me pointing, and the abandoned house over that way, the fucking abandoned house is more visually interesting. But no, the state is going to fight blight, and they're going to save us. Here's what we got. Okay, they're going to create a dangerous building registry and notification program to ensure that vacant properties are secured. That's the government answer for everything. A registry. We need a gun registry. We need a free speech registry. We need an abortion registry. We need a marriage registry. We already have that. Homosexuals are fighting like hell to get their names in the marriage registry. We need a registry of skin colors and gender. It's called the census. Now we need a dangerous building registry. This would require a local contact, periodic periodic inspection of the property, proper securing of doors and windows, and regular monitoring. In other words, this is going to be a way for the government to create more jobs that don't need to be done and can be given to people who can't get a fuck. Hi, what do you do? I inspect dangerous buildings. Why? Well, because they're dangerous. Okay, if you've decided it's a dangerous building, why do you need to inspect it anymore? Well, because it's my job security. If it wasn't for this, I would be unemployed because I don't have any skills. That's how I became a dangerous building inspector. I mean, how much fucking intelligence do you need to look at a building and say, that building might be dangerous right there? I mean, this is a fucking jobs program for fucking special needs people. That's all it is, because you're not supposed to say retarded anymore. Retarded is offensive. So from here forth, at the Cynical Libertarians say, whenever possible, whenever I remember, whenever I give a fuck, I'm going to try to use the proper term for statist, which is special needs, not retarded. Okay, here's the next thing the state here in Fort Collins, our local statist organization, is going to do to save us, to protect us poor little citizens. I mean, how many people have died in abandoned buildings, I wonder? All right, this is the next thing they're going to do to save us from abandoned buildings and blight. God damn it. Whew. Removing the exemption of owner-occupied buildings from the exterior structure portion of the International Property Maintenance Code. Did you know that there is an International Property Maintenance Code? Wow. This would allow exterior property deterioration, like large holes in siding or a badly deteriorated roof, to be addressed. Because most people live in houses that have bad roofs, you know, out of choice. But now we're government, just like the government is going to force you to buy healthcare, because, you know, it's not like you're not buying healthcare now because, or health insurance rather. It's not like you're not buying health insurance now because you can't afford it. No. It's because you're a Republican. And if we just force you to buy health insurance, that'll solve all the problems. So if you have a bad roof, it's not a bad roof because you can't afford to fix it. No. It's because you're probably a Republican, or maybe you hate children, or maybe you hate black people, or maybe you're an anarcho-capitalist and you want a house, but we're going to force you to fix that roof. Why? For the children. And because it creates jobs for special needs people. Okay, next thing they're going to do to save us from ourselves, they're going to broadening the outdoor storage violation code to include visibility from a deck or window of a neighboring property. So if I'm up on my second floor and I look out my window and I see something in somebody else's yard that I don't like because it's blight, I can fucking report them to the state. If you see something, say something, right? I can report them to the state under these new laws, if they happen, if they pass, and the government will go in and threaten those people with violence if they don't change what is in their fucking yard to make me happy. Holy fucking shit. And we wonder why our society is deteriorating. We wonder why people don't talk to each other. We wonder why people have no social skills. We wonder why there's hatred and what's the fucking word I'm looking for? I don't know. You know, they want, like, fuck. Seriously, people. Okay, here's the next one. Only allow one inoperable motor vehicle to be stored behind a privacy fence. Again, it's your property. Actually, it's not your property. Remember, you pay property taxes on it. If you stop paying taxes, the government will come and take the property away from you. If you resist, they will kill you. You do not own your property. You rent your property from the state. So the state is going to come in and say how many inoperable vehicles you can have on your own property behind a fence where nobody can see it unless they're looking over your fence. Okay, where are all the fucking privacy wackos? What happened to the days when what you did in your backyard used to be your own business? Where are the fucking left-wing, fucking statist, privacy wackos who used to care so much about privacy? Oh, that's right. They're fondling Obama's nutsack with their tongues. That's where the little cocksucking motherfucker special needs are. All right, and the next thing the government's going to do here in Fort Collins to save us is they are going to take two. They are going to require, which means use the threat of force, for those of you who are stupid, they are going to require the removal of dead or substantially dead. Who gets to define substantially dead? Oh, that's right, some special needs government employee does. They are going to require the removal of dead or substantially dead large shrubs from private property. Remember, there is no private property. As I just said, the government owns your property. You rent it from them in the form of property taxes. And finally, they are going to limit the amount of material stored in public view, especially in front yards. This could include items such as landscape materials, barbecue grills, lawn equipment, etc. They are going to limit how much stuff you can have in your front yard. And if you see something, you can say something, and the government will go to somebody else's house and use violence to enforce your personal aesthetics. So anyhow, for more information or to provide feedback, I'll find some fucking feedback for you, contact Polly Larderson, Code Compliance Supervisor, at 970-221-6399. Or Polly Lardenson at fcgov.com. Absolutely fucking pathetic in every fucking imaginable way. It's a jobs program for special needs adults that can't get a job in the free market, and it's just a bunch of fucking busybodies who are all worried about what somebody else is doing on their fucking property. Oh, but wait, it's not their property. It's the government's property. I keep forgetting. Gosh, not very smart sometimes. Next thing I want to do, I want to hit this real quick. I got the reading list just stacking up. Right now, I am reading, well, I'm about to start reading. I've been spot reading. Women Can't Hear What Men Don't Say, by Warren Farrell, PhD. I know it sounds all touchy-feely and self-help. This guy has a lot of fucking feminazis who hate him because he says some awesome shit. Okay, like this. This will fucking piss you off. Remember when Bill Clinton apologized? Because that made it okay, right? When Bill Clinton apologized for the Tuskegee experiment, where I think it was around 200 black men were not treated for syphilis, even though they were being told they were being treated for syphilis because scientists wanted to see what the disease did to them. Remember that? And Warren Farrell points out, makes a good point. Clinton apologized for the racism because we did it to black men. Do you notice nobody apologized for the sexism? We did it only to men. There were no women subjects in the Tuskegee experiment. It was all men. Oh, but that's okay. They're just men. We can fucking kill them, right? Now, they're black. That made it bad. That's the part that made it wrong to experiment on them, was the fact that they were black, right? The fact that they were men, nobody gives a shit about that. Because you can fucking kill men all day long, and it doesn't matter because, oh, I don't know, war, you know, drug war, war on drugs, war on terror, war on this, war on that. You know, men die all the fucking time. Nobody gives a shit. So anyhow, the book is full of stuff like that, which will make feminazis actual just shit all over themselves. So it's a great book. Warren Farrell has also been on a couple of videos with Stefan Molyneux. That's where I first heard about him. So check out Stefan's channel. You can see some Warren Farrell interviews there. Fucking really awesome. When he first came on, he totally looks like this femisimp, Oprah Winfrey watching, you know, oh, let's talk about our feelings shit. And he actually does. I mean, he is like, it's hilarious because he is like the, like, oh my God, like I can't talk. Like, oh my God, like I'm talking like medicated generation. Oh God, I have special needs. Like, oh my God. So He does. I mean, he does like this touchy-feely shit where he's like, okay, now let's talk about our emotions and let's take a time out and touch your partner. And he seriously does that stuff in the book. And then he turns around and goes, yeah, do you notice how the Tuskegee experiment was only men and not women? What the fuck's up with that? And it's like, holy shit, man. So he's like both sides. He's got like the touchy-feely shit going on, but then he's got like the no bullshit women stuff. You know, he's talking about how, you know, after he proves to women that women make the same amount of money as men do, how they get pissed off and shit, and he's like, well, fucking deal with it. You know, he doesn't say fucking. But it's like, damn, this dude has got the touchy-feely shit, and he's got the no bullshit. So, highly recommended so far. I'm also reading. I am currently reading. I'm in the middle of this one. Digital Vertigo. How today's online social revolution is dividing, diminishing, and disorienting us. It's by the same guy who wrote. It's by Andrew Keen. He wrote The Cult of the Amateur. So anyhow, it's a good book on the social media, that whole phenomena, stuff like that. Going through there. It's really good. Lined up, I've got Free Radicals by Michael Brooks. It's about scientists, and of course, I know those of you out there who worship science and worship by extension scientists, you know, who think that scientists are, you know, these pure people and they don't steal and they don't lie and they don't falsify data and they don't, you know, swipe shit from other people and blah blah blah. Free Radicals sort of blows all that out of the water. I've spot read it a little bit, read good things about it, I'm looking forward to it. Also got here A Battle for the Soul of Islam, an American Muslim's Patriot's Fight to Save His Faith. So I heard about that from somewhere else. I'm gonna read that. Looks good. Got This Machine Kills Secrets, How WikiLeaks Cypherpunks and Hacktivists Aim to Free the World's Information. It's by Andy Greenberg. Don't know much about that yet. I'll read it and find out, because unlike some of you out there, I read books that I may or may not agree with, so it could be good. And then I have Eli Broad. I have no idea. It's called The Art of Being Unreasonable. It's sort of a businessy leadership book, I think, but it sounds interesting based on what I read on the jackets. Anyhow, there it is, man. There's the all-important reading list, because I know many of you out there were awaiting to find out what books I am currently reading or going to be reading so that you go read them too. So now, go watch some YouTube videos. Let's talk about YouTube videos. Am I ready for YouTube? Randy. Oh, talking about women. You know what? I got to do this. Bitches. Let me talk to your bitch asses for a minute. Let's talk about, you know, the equality and how the endless whining about how you don't make as much money, how you can't get the jobs and all this other shit. I just want to throw this out as something for you to think about. Next time you're sitting around fucking whining about how you can't make any money and can't get a job and you want to be CEO and nobody will hire you. And I got this friend and call her up. She comes over and I'm like, okay, what kind of movie do you want to watch? I don't know. Well, come on, I give her my movie collection. Because I'm old, I still have some shit on DVD. I know it's sad, but I will not be buying Blu-rays. I covered that in the last episode. All right, so anyhow, I throw my DVD collection at her, and I say, go there, see, what do you want to watch? So she looks through it all. I don't know. All right, well, what kind of genre do you watch? Give me something. Horror movie, comedy, you know, character drama, sci-fi, I don't know. And it's like, fuck. And it's like, this is like this trend. I have a couple of female friends that are not like this. They can fucking make decisions, okay? So again, for those of you 99%ers, not saying every fucking person with a vagina on the planet Earth is like this, nor am I saying that there aren't people who have penises who can't fucking make a decision because they're goddamn sure as fuck are, okay? However, statistically speaking, when I'm hanging out with friends of mine who have cocks, and I say, dude, what do you want to do? Well, they have a fucking answer. When I'm hanging out with somebody who's got a vagina, and I say, what do you want to do? I don't know. What kind of movie? I don't know. You want to go get something to eat? I guess. All right, where you want to go? I don't know. What kind of fucking food are you in the mood for? I don't know. Well, fuck! Do you know any fucking thing? Can you make any fucking decision whatsoever? But here's the point, people. Because I'm going to get to the fucking point eventually. You know, eventually, sometimes it takes me 20 fucking minutes. Because I love the sound of my own fucking voice. But I'm going to get to the fucking point sometime in the next 10 minutes. The fucking point is, you fucking women, you want response. You want to get paid. You want the job and you want the pay, but you can't even make a fucking decision about what fucking movie you want to watch. You want to be CEO of a corporation, you know, those corporations that you hate because they destroy the environment and they don't pay taxes and all this other shit. But you want to be the CEO of a corporation, but you can't even fucking decide what movie you want to fucking watch. How the fuck are you going to... And so why should anybody fucking hire you? Why should somebody give you a job and pay you the same amount of money as a man who can make a fucking decision when you can't even make a motherfucking decision? Now, some of you are going to say, but great one. That's in personal life. Just because I can't make a decision about what movie to watch doesn't mean I can't make a decision at work. Really, if you ask this same person, so do you think it's okay for me to, say for example, be a rapist in my personal life as long as I'm not a rapist in my professional life? Any normal person would say no. But women do that. Well, I can be indecisive and wishy-washy and incompetent in my personal life, but I'm going to be perfectly decisive and competent in my professional life. No, honey, you're not. You're not, okay? And that's why you need to shut the fuck up. And again, not all women are like this. I know many women who own their own businesses and are very competent, very decisive, get shit done. They've written books. They do consulting. They have websites that people come to them. They run network. I mean, I know a woman who runs a network of blog sites. She hires shit tons of people. She does all kinds of awesome shit. She makes shit happen. Okay, I'm not fucking saying, because you stupid fucking special needs feminazis out there think I'm saying every woman is like this. Not saying that. Not fucking saying that, you stupid goddamn cunt. Not fucking saying that. I am saying, statistically speaking, over 50% of the women are fucking indecisive dumb bitches, and no, you can't make the same amount of money as a man does, and no, you can't get the same fucking jobs that men do, because, I'm trying to make up a statistic real quick, because I love making up statistics, because statistics are all made up. That's why you should read the book, How to Lie with Statistics, which is critical if you want to be capable of intelligent thinking, which of course most of you don't. Most of you just want to suck on Obama's cock and be told what to think, but you know, fuck you. Anyhow, the percentage of men who are indecisive and wishy-washy is smaller than the percentage of women who are wishy-washy and indecisive. Okay? That's all I'm going to say there. All right, so when you're all fucking whining about it, just remember, make a fucking decision. Make some fucking decisions. Take some fucking initiative. And hey, maybe you can get a goddamn job and maybe you get paid as much as a man. That's all it fucking takes, honey. Stop fucking whining. Head out of your ass, Obama's cock out of your mouth, fucking take some responsibility, make a decision, shut the fuck up. Now. YouTube. I've been sitting around watching YouTube videos because I'm doing photo editing. That was me taking hits. Oh, by the way, hits. Okay. I'll get to it in the next 10 minutes or so. Hits. Colorado, as you know, unless you've had your head under a rock, we made marijuana illegal. By we, I mean the government. No, we made marijuana legal. God damn it, I can't talk. So anyhow, there, and I haven't kept up with this lately. I have no idea where this is. I just saw this in one of my brief encounters with the news. The state of Colorado, apparently the government, for whatever reasons, in order to tax the marijuana, there has to be another vote. And what I got from this was that there's like two taxes on the marijuana, a 15% tax this, and then a 15% tax that. So basically a 30% tax on marijuana sales. And for some reason, somewhere, somehow, somebody, the people of the state, have to vote on one or both of these taxes. And the spokesperson for the government of the state of Colorado in this newspaper article essentially said this: if the taxes don't pass, we are going to make marijuana illegal again, because the only reason we legalized marijuana in the first place was to get the tax money. Which, when you analyze what's not being said in that statement, what he's saying is, we did not legalize marijuana because we believe in freedom, or because we believe you own your body and should be able to ingest whatever substance you want, or that, you know, we are opposed to the war on drugs and spending billions and billions of dollars attacking, arresting, prosecuting, and imprisoning people for having a plant. No. We legalized marijuana only so that we could get tax money. That should make you feel like a good little fucking slave. Good slaves. You know, it's kind of like the main reason that anybody is so desperate to legalize gay marriage isn't because they believe homosexuals own their own bodies and should be free to get married to whoever they want. No. The big push for legalizing gay marriage comes from wedding planners and divorce lawyers, because they're going to make a fortune. A fucking fortune. Fortune. Oh, the money. As always, follow the money. Okay, now, 36 minutes into the show, let's get around to YouTube. I've been watching a lot of YouTube. There is a guy on YouTube. I'm going to fuck up his name. His name is Davis M.J. Aruni. I don't know. It's spelled A-U-R-I-N-I. He's awesome. I love watching his videos, because he does his videos like in the dark with the cityscape in the background. And he usually has a cigarette or a cigar in his hand. And he's usually drinking a drink that looks like a mixed drink. I don't actually know that it is or not. And he's bald-headed, and he looks very satanic. And I don't mean that as an insult. I mean that in that he looks a lot like Anton LaVey, the founder of the Church of Satan and the man who wrote the Satanic Bible, which is a great book. I want to talk about the Satanic Bible. I've talked about it in the past on Stating the Obvious. But recently I pulled it out and was reading through it some more and just was reminded of what a brilliant book this is. There are flaws in the religion of Satanism, but there is a lot of really brilliant philosophical stuff in there, which, if you're an ANCAP, you will be able to relate to a lot of this stuff. So yeah, I've watched a number of Davis's videos, and they're really good. He talks about some great stuff. He's hilarious. He cracks me up. Not that he's like being funny, but he's hilarious in the sense that he says shit that if you said this stuff in public in the United States, you would get like killed for being racist, sexist, homophobic, not having Obama's cock in your mouth. You know, all the other stuff that you're not allowed to talk about. He did one, however, where I had some serious disagreements, and it was awesome. But it was still good. All right. He went off on the minimum wage. And about how, because he tends to be kind of ANCAP oriented. He's not an ANCAP, it's just obvious because he supports the minimum wage, but he is ANCAP oriented. So his video was essentially, he came on, he says, yeah, you know, I like my libertarian friends and they're okay, but they're really fucked up on some shit. And one of the things is they're opposed to minimum wage, and that is not cool with him. And so he put out forth his objections to, or let me put it this way. He put forth his reasons for supporting the minimum wage, which sound like pretty much the typical statist bullshit that statists say in order to support the minimum wage. Including, he starts off by saying, well, we got to have some laws, and we got to have tax, you know, and we got to pay taxes. And he lets off, because who's going to build the roads? And I just almost died. It was the funniest shit ever. I literally fucking almost fell out of the chair laughing, because I'm not making this up. If I can find the video, I'll link to it. Watch it. You're going to hear him sit there and say, we have to have the government, because we have to pay taxes, because if we don't have taxes to the government, who's going to build roads? And it's just fucking roads. Roads. Oh, fucking hell. You fucking statist. And your goddamn fucking roads. Okay. So we need taxes for the roads. He said that. So then he went to, why do we need minimum wage? Okay. That was me taking a drink. My drink, however, was not. Dude, I should get me a mixed drink like he does and do these. But nobody would see it, though. Oh, but I could rattle the ice. Because I love it when he's drinking out of his drink. You can hear the ice rattling. It's like just great ambiance. It really is. His videos are really simple, but I do enjoy them a lot. So I need me a glass with some ice in it so I could rattle that because my little metal cup, it's not cutting it. Okay, why do we need minimum wage according to Davis? Okay, his argument is, and I should also point out he's in Canada. Stefan Molyneux is in Canada also. I love it when fucking Canadians comment on America. Like, shut the fuck up. All right, anyway. We need minimum wage because, of course, he lives in a different country and none of this affects him. We need minimum wage because he says minimum wage is the minimum amount of money that a person needs in order to pay rent, get health care, and buy food for themselves. And these are the three examples he actually uses. He says that without minimum wage, what will happen is people will not be able to afford these things. So, for example, people would not be able to pay rent. They'd be homeless. He didn't actually use that example, but I'm throwing that in because it's an obvious point, counterpoint to his thing about paying rent. But he did use these next two examples. He said, you know, without the minimum wage, people will need food banks to get their food, and that'll cost money ultimately to the state, to the government, to the taxpayers. And then people, when they need health care, will not be able to pay for the health care. And so those costs of them getting their health care they can't afford, again, are going to end up being dumped on other people, being dumped on taxpayers, being funneled through the state. Okay, now that sounds reasonable. That sounds 100% reasonable. In fact, like 5 years ago, I would have made the exact same argument. Here's the problem. First of all, we currently have a minimum wage law. Now, if the minimum wage provides a person with the income they need to provide themselves with a place to live, to pay their rent, provides them money to buy food, and provides them money to get health care, to provide themselves with health care, why do we have homeless people? Because we have a minimum wage. Why do people get food stamps and go to the food bank and get women, infants, and children benefits? If the minimum wage, we have a minimum wage, and if it provides them enough money to buy food, why do we have food stamps and food banks? And of course, if the minimum wage provides people enough money to purchase health insurance so they have health care, why are there people without health insurance? Why do we need Obamacare? So his entire argument, starting off at least, for minimum wage is that minimum wage pays people enough money so that they can have those three things. If that is true, as he says it is, and we do have minimum wage laws, then why are there people who don't have those three things? More importantly, why can somebody like Davis, who is a reasonably intelligent guy in my opinion, why can he not fucking see this when it's mind-blowingly obvious? Right? It's kind of like saying, well, I have a fire extinguisher to put out a fire, and then there's a fire going, and you're spraying it with the fire extinguisher, and the fire's not going out because the fire extinguisher has kerosene in it. And you sit there and go, wow, I got to have this fire extinguisher to put the fire out. Well, it's not putting the fire out, is it? Okay, if minimum wage laws allow people to pay rent, buy food, and provide themselves with health care, why do we have people who can't pay their rent? Why do we have people getting fucking food subsidies like food stamps? Why do we have people going to the food bank? And why are there people who don't have health insurance? It obviously doesn't fucking work. Right? And again, it's the same statist argument. It's just like the public education system. Our kids are stupid. Well, obviously, we need to spend more money. We need more public education. We got to spend more money. Right, because what we have now isn't... Hold on. Speaking of women, looking out the window, not bad. Okay. So, you know, we got to spend more money. That's the fucking problem. Minimum wage. So we got to spend more money. He also doesn't seem to grasp As many people don't, he doesn't grasp that minimum wage has to come from someplace. So if I'm paying people and I pay them, say, $5 an hour and I put out a service or a product, I have to charge enough for that service or product to pay my employees. The government shows up and says, well, now you have to pay them $10 an hour. Everybody thinks that this additional $5 an hour just magically appears out of someplace, and it doesn't. I have to raise my prices enough to compensate for the additional $5 an hour. And this is one of the big things that you stupid people don't get about corporations. You think that whenever a corporation pays taxes or gets hit with a lawsuit or, you know, is forced to give the employees a raise because of the union or the minimum wage or whatever, those of you who are stupid think that that additional money comes from, quote unquote, the corporation, that like the CEO, or perhaps like that money comes out of the CEO's bonus, or comes out of the CEO's bank account, or comes out of the corporation's bank account. And it doesn't, okay? Because corporations, the CEO is not going to take a pay cut so that everybody else can get a raise when the minimum wage is raised. The corporation doesn't have any money because corporations, contrary to what the Supreme Court says, corporations are not people. Corporations are fictitious entities like the state. They are part of the state. And this won't come into play as I go along here, but I'm just going to say it now. You know, corporations do not exist without the state. If there is no state, there is no corporation. You can't have the one without the other. I've talked about this at length. So when the corporation or when a business, even a small business, if I give my employee, whether I'm a corporation or whether I own my own business, when I give my employees a $5 an hour raise because the government says I have to do this, that money doesn't come out of my fucking paycheck. It doesn't come out of my bank account. I have to raise the prices in order to make up for that. So all of this just gets passed on to the consumers. So let's say that you own a corporation and you manufacture televisions. Okay, so you're paying your employees $5 an hour. You sell your TV for $30 each. So now you have to give your employees a $5 an hour raise because there's a minimum wage law that says they have to make $10 an hour. Now you have to take your television, and instead of being $30 or whatever the fuck I said, you have to sell it for $60. So now the employees, now remember, this isn't just happening at my company that makes televisions. This happens everywhere, right? So the prices for everything have to go up. So now the employee is going, wow, I got a lot more money. I'm making $10 an hour instead of $5 an hour. I have twice as much money. Yes, but because everybody has to adhere to the minimum wage law, because everybody who has employees and thus provides goods and services has to make additional money in order to pay their employees an additional amounts of money, everybody is raising their prices. So yes, you have more money measured in the sense of how many actual dollar bills you have in your hand. But because the price of everything, bread, going to the movies, carbonated sugar water, you know, dildos, televisions, bicycles, computers, your internet service, your cell phone, because the price of everything goes up to reflect this, because again, the corporations don't take a fucking pay cut for the CEOs to pay for this shit. Okay, the corporations don't have like a bank account sitting there for when the government raises the corporations, all this money, all the taxes they pay, all the raise, all of this comes out of what the people who buy their products, buy their services, it comes out of that money. So they raise their prices. So yes, now the workers have $10 an hour instead of $5, but everything they're going to spend that money on also cost more money. You're not fucking helping anybody with minimum wage laws. It just doesn't fucking work. It's like the thing I've always said about the government mandating how many miles per gallon a car gets. We're going to pass these laws. Cars have to get 45 miles per gallon. Well, if laws can control shit like that, why not just pass a law that says every car gets 200 miles per gallon? And they magically will. Okay, if minimum wage laws could create wealth why not just pass a law that says you have to pay everybody $1,000 a week? Minimum. That's your minimum, $1,000 a week. And boom, poverty, eliminate. You can make it $2,000, you can make it $10,000, whatever. Just pass a week, $10,000 a week. That's what you have to pay everyone. Boom, poverty, eliminated. Well, it doesn't fucking work, does it? But when you inch it up, when you talk about, well, we're a dollar or whatever, people think, oh yeah, that works. No, it doesn't fucking work, you morons. Then his other argument, his further argument for why we need the minimum wage law, is because without the minimum wage law, corporations will not pay people what they are worth, and the corporations will enslave people. Which, of course, brings me back to the point that, we have to have the government, right, to raise taxes, to build the roads, which, different argument. Okay, here's the argument. We have to have the government to enforce a minimum wage law, because without the minimum wage law, the corporations will not pay people what they're worth, and they will enslave people. Of course, the biggest giant flaw in this, without talking about the economics and all the other bullshit, is, as I have mentioned in this podcast a few minutes ago, as I said 100,000 fucking times, corporations cannot exist without the state. We do not need the state to enforce a minimum wage law to protect us from being enslaved by corporations. If there is no state, there are no corporations. Corporations were created by the government. Corporations were given personhood status by the government. Corporations are protected by the government. Corporations get out of paying taxes because of the government. Corporations pollute the environment because the government doesn't stop them. Corporations exist. If I can't argue with the CEO of Ford Motor Company on a one-on-one level, I have to fight the corporation Ford Motor Company, because the government forces me to believe the corporation exists. The government shields the individuals who run the corporation from any responsibility for their actions and deflects that responsibility onto the fictitious entity known as the corporation. Corporations cannot enslave anybody without the help of the state. So the idea that the state can protect you from being enslaved by the corporations via the minimum wage law is complete fucking sheer idiocy. I was doing so good. Idiocy is the word I'm looking for. If you believe that, you are a special needs individual. And stay off YouTube. Remember, YouTube is for people who don't have any friends.